Now, Paul has been giving young Timothy instruction on his call to pastoral ministry. And in that call to pastoral ministry, last week we saw that he was encouraging Timothy to not be discouraged based on his age. Remember, he's somewhere most likely between 21 and 27. That's the age that most historians give for Timothy at that time. And he says to Timothy that as he is in pastoral ministry, that he is to be reminded that these difficulties are going to come. And when the difficulties come, it is likely that young Timothy may desire to pull back away from his charge. Paul says, Timothy, remember that you were set apart by the laying on of hands. Remember that preaching was accomplished at your ordination service. Remember to continue to put these things before the congregation. He wants to encourage him. And today what he does is he finishes out this chapter in this specific section dealing with Timothy's call to ministry. He closes out this section with verse 16. Paul says, keep a close watch on yourself and on the teaching. Persist in this, for by doing so, you will save both yourself and your hearers. Each one of you know the experience, or you most likely know the experience of losing track of the most important things in life. Say there's a particular season of life that's just been very, very busy. And in that busyness, as the Lord got you through that busyness, you look back and you reflect on that time and you think, you know, providentially God got me through that, but so many of my duties I neglected during that season of life. And we know that experience. Most of us have had that experience time to time, to lose our focus on that which is important or that which is among the first things. Here's Timothy struggling. Timothy having difficulty in Ephesus. And within his own mind, within his own heart, there is also that aspect of life where it's easy even for this young minister or for any called to ministry to lose track of what's important, to lose track of first things. John Gill reminds us that this call to keep a close watch on yourself and your teaching to Timothy, this was not as a man or a Christian only, but as a minister. And every minister should take heed to his life and his teaching. We want to back that up and say, we know that primarily the Word of God here is speaking to Timothy as a minister of the gospel. But it's also important to generalize and to broaden that so that there's application for you all as well, so that you're able to leave here today and as you go into your work on Monday, you're able to ask yourself, am I keeping watch? Am I keeping watch? Am I keeping watch? And that's what Paul says to do here. He says in the first place to keep watch on yourself. We see Paul instructing young Timothy to practice self-examination, to examine himself against things that he's already told him in this book. Think about some of the things that he's instructed Timothy with. He's given qualifications for ministers, hasn't he? He said that if you desire the office of overseer, you desire a good thing. Look at this. Look at this list, Timothy. And he's given Timothy instruction on how to avoid what our translation calls silly myths. But in the Greek, remember, it's old wives' tales. to keep your mind and your heart sharply focused on the Word of God and the teaching that comes from the Word of God, rather than these pious myths that from time to time are able to drive both the ethics and the doctrine of the church. Paul says, keep focused on that. Keep watch on that as well. Have self-examination with qualifications. Have self-examination for your own life, your own ethical standards that we find within the Word of God. Now, why is he telling this to Timothy? It's because the old adage is true that as a Christian, we are either growing or we are dying. There is no neutrality in the Christian life, in the sense where if somebody says, brother or sister, how are you doing in the Christian life? How are you growing as a believer? The answer that you ought to give as a believer, it ought to be, I am growing in these ways, and be able to look at ways that you're growing in the Christian life. Because if your answer is, I'm not growing, everything is staying the same, that is not true. You are either growing in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, or you're backsliding. Paul says, keep watch on yourself. Keep watch on where you are in the Christian life. Keep watch on your interaction with the means of grace. As you hear preaching, or as you sing psalms, or hear the pastoral prayer, is that watering your soul? Is that bringing you in to the presence of God? Or is somehow that seed of bitterness within your heart sprouting and coming to life? And the same with ethics, not only what we believe, but what we do in this life. Is there a whole list of things in your life that at one time you said, I will avoid these things, I will not do this, or I will live this certain way unto the glory of God, and you find yourself reverting back into old habits? These are questions that are important for us as we seek to keep watch on our own lives. Not only Timothy here as a minister of the gospel, not only instruction to me or the others that are preachers within this room, but a call for every believer to examine his or her life against the Word of God, and asking yourself, are you keeping watch on your life? We remember that Timothy struggled with the hardships of ministry. He was prone to meditate on the difficulties and the trials of the ministry. Remember, Ephesus is not an easy charge. Find an easy charge, first off, but Ephesus is not an easy charge. There's the cult of Diana, there's witchcraft that the congregation's struggling through. There are false teachers that are questioning not only apostolic teaching, but questioning the apostles themselves. And you look at Acts, and all of this nonsense is going on in Ephesus, and Paul leaves this young guy, 21 to 27, in the congregation. Paul says, Timothy, watch your life. Watch your life. Watch and contrast your life against the Scriptures. Ask about growing more and more in conformity to those Scriptures. Because that's where discouragement sets in. When these trials or these hardships come in, it's easy to just throw up our hands and to say, this is too hard. Why even bother? Why try? You see, friends, when we take our eyes off of Christ, that's when we then ask these sorts of questions. We examine ourselves, and as we examine ourselves, and as we're keeping watch on our life and keeping watch on how we are interacting with the things of God, we need to remember that our eyes, as the author of Hebrews tells us, are fixed on Jesus Christ as that happens. If you examine yourself against yourself, you're either going to become ultimately discouraged, or you're going to become blinded by your own struggles. As you keep, as Paul says here, keep watch on yourself. It's a call for Timothy to also look to Christ. Friends, this is true for each one of us. How are you growing? What are the victories the Lord has given you over sin? What are the ways that you struggle and the Lord has been pleased to help you? You know, at least in that, can you claim some sort of victory where you say, you know what, Pastor Nathan, I'm really struggling in this area of my life and I'm so far from where I need to be, but the Lord has been gracious. That in itself is victory. That in itself is enough to say, when I keep watch on my own life, I'm looking to those areas of struggle and trial and difficulty and saying, praise be to Jesus Christ. This is what Paul expects of Timothy. And it's expected of all ministers of the gospel, and it is expected of all of those who are found in union and communion with Christ. Friends, watch your life. Watch your lives. It's very easy in a city like ours and the lifestyles that many have to live, even in order to make ends meet, it's very easy to say, you know, Pastor Nathan, I just don't have time for that sort of life. Friends, that is a dangerous statement. Each one of you must find the time to watch your life. You must examine your lives against the Word of God. Do not fall into default mode and saying, Pastor Nathan, I work 6 days and I'm at church on the seventh. I don't have time for anything else. I'm glad that you work 6 days. That's a command. I'm glad that you're in worship on the Lord's Day. That's commanded. But friends, we must be examining our lives. And when we live such busy, overly complicated lives, it's so easy to take our eyes off of Jesus Christ and take our eyes off of His work in your life. Look. Keep watch. This is what we are expected as those growing in Christ. But Paul says to Timothy not only that he is to keep watch on himself or on the way that he lives, but he is also, you see, to keep watch on his teaching. Do you see that? It's sort of two parts in this examination. Keep watch on yourself and keep watch on your teaching. Paul wants Timothy to be a careful exegete of the Scriptures, to be careful with the way in which sermon preparation happens, to be careful in how the Word of God is divided and presented to the congregation. Keep watch on this, Timothy. Keep watch on the way in which you do systematics and the way that you come to understand what the Scriptures teach, so that you're able to properly teach and instruct those around you as well. It's very easy for ministers to slip into careless sermon writing or spending more and more time doing frivolous things rather than being in the Word of God, less time in the work to which we are called, and more time, as a friend of mine from Grand Rapids used to say, spending all of his time organizing his paper clips. Paul says, keep watch on your teaching. Timothy is to be always learning and always growing in his knowledge of the truth and always stretching himself that he may be able to present the Word of God to his congregation, that they may be best suited for receiving that unto the glory of God. One of the vows that I'm under as a minister in the Reformed Presbyterian Church is this: that you may perform faithfully all the duties of the office to which you have been called. Do you engage to seek the guidance of the Holy Spirit? Do you promise in His strength to live a holy and exemplary life, to study and promote the purity, peace, unity, and progress of the church, to bring to your congregation the fruits of earnest study of the Word, to maintain a testimony for the kingdom of God, to endeavor to minister to others and win them to Christ, and to watch for souls as one who must give account. Friends, it's a weighty task. And it's a task that is so difficult, especially during times of trials, especially during times of tribulation. And this is what Timothy is wrestling through. And friends, those of you that have been in the Church of Jesus Christ for some time, decades upon decades, you probably have an example, even in your mind, of a minister that under great pressure, either schismatic pressure from within a congregation that's dividing, or pressure coming from a presbytery or a synod trying to bind his conscience, or some sort of pressure where under the difficulty of that trial, he had to step away from the ministry, unable to do the task set before him. Paul says, brother, watch your teaching. Keep watch on your teaching. This is heavy. The phrase keep watch is familiar in the ancient world as those that would be the watchmen on walls, those that are looking for attack from outside, those that can warn those on the inside. Those of you that have read John Bunyan's Holy War, you know something of that. At each of the city gates of man's soul are the watchmen. There's watchmen at the eye gate and the ear gate and the mouth gate. And at each of these gates are watchmen trying to protect the soul. And here, this is what we see with Timothy. Timothy, watch your teaching. Watch that which is going into you, and watch that which comes out of you, that it is Christ-centered, and that it brings glory to God, and that it is in accordance with the Scriptures. And how is that done? Paul says, persist in this. Persist in this. This life of examination, of lifestyle in doctrine, it is an examination that is to continue for Timothy. Continue, persist, examine. And friends, this is not just a trial of the young. This is a trial of the old as well. Have you ever met someone and then years later met them again, and as you reflect on who they were as a younger man or woman, you think, man, they just had so much more zeal for the things of God. They've lost their zeal. See, this temptation is not one that is just for the young. But as the cares of this world come, everyone must examine and watch. And here, if a minister is not watching his life and whether his life and his teaching is a reflection of godliness and a reflection of that which the Word of God says, there is danger, there's warning of falling away. The watchman wouldn't watch outside invaders coming to the city and say, you know, it's natural, it's normal for cities to be under siege. Or they would call out a warning. They would call out that they were being attacked. And friends, as you examine yourselves, as you act as watchmen over both your life and your teaching, or that which you're learning, or how you're growing in Christ, when these warnings come to your heart and mind, think of that watchman. Calling a warning even unto your own soul. A warning that reminds you to grow. A warning that maybe is going to call for your repentance from sin, or repentance from being idle, or repentance for lack of zeal or godliness. See, even ministers are in danger, can be in danger of falling away. In the last, or this morning before morning worship, I gave a summary of what happened at our synod meeting. And towards the end of that summary, I talked about how it was quite uneventful in a lot of ways, but that was better than the previous 2 years, because in those previous 2 years, we were dealing with a contentious issue where two ministers within our denomination were wanting to ordain women to the eldership and to the pastorate. We had an 80-page paper where a minister wanted to change a 2,000-year practice within the Church of Christ, and if you go Old Testament ordination as well, you could say almost 8,000-year history within the church for male-only eldership. And among those 80 pages that were presented to the synod, there was not one footnote, not one interfacing with the historic practice of the church, not one footnote interacting with the great thinkers of the church. It was a demonstration of not watching one's doctrine. Now, I'm not saying this person's not a believer. That's not the point. The point is that when one does not watch his or her doctrine, it does not end well. Paul says, watch. Young and old, watch. Men and women, watch. Boys and girls, watch. Jesus told us to watch and to pray. Friends, are you persisting in this watching? And Paul ends this chapter with telling us not only this command to keep watch, and then that divided into two parts, keep watch on yourself and keep watch on your teaching. Not only does he give the how by persisting, he also gives the purpose. He says, he closes out this chapter with saying, you will save those and your hearers. You will save yourself and your hearers. What does he mean by that? The word save has a broad range of meaning in the New Testament. It can mean to keep safe and sound. So you think about being watchful towards yourself, or ministers being watchful towards themselves. And when they're watching their lifestyle and they're watching their doctrine, it is able to keep us safe and to keep us sound. You've heard the phrase before that fences make good neighbors. Well, fences also keep us off of the neighbor's property, which is good as well. And having boundaries, confessional boundaries of what we profess and what we believe, those things that are the markers to remind us of orthodoxy and staying within those things, we are safe within that. We are kept safe. You know, when a man or a woman, or especially when a minister or an elder wanders away from those safeguards of our confessions, and they say, I know our confession's over there, but I'm over here because I saw this one verse and I think it might connect with this verse and this verse, and all of a sudden you have this real obscure thing that is pushing the person further and further away from the church of Jesus Christ. It's not safe to be there. The word can mean to rescue from danger or destruction. It can mean to save from suffering, such as in to make one well, or to heal, or to restore to health. You think about that, the way that the word save is used there, and that broad meaning, meaning save as in like a salvation sense, or safe as in a safeguard sense, or save as in a keep from suffering sense, or save as in a rescuing or healing sense. All of these have applications within what Paul is saying. It's true that when the minister is watching his life and watching his teaching, that his hearers may hear that teaching and the Holy Spirit use that to convert his or her soul. Hearers are literally saved. Saved from hell when ministers watch their teaching. When the arrow becomes dull, it's useless. The teaching must be sharp. And that means that ministers must be in the Word, must be a student of theology. But the hearers are also safe from those dangers of wandering outside of the boundaries that are set up, the boundaries that we call orthodoxy. Friends, as people wander, they're more and more able to get lost. And what is that line? You say, Pastor Nathan, so-and-so has wandered outside of the bounds of orthodoxy, and I don't think that what they're believing or what they're teaching is in line with the Scripture. Where's the point where we say the person was a Christian and now they're not a Christian? We know those lines can be pronounced through the use of the keys of the kingdom. But as far as where that line is, where one ceases as he or she walks away from the confessional bounds that are set up and is wandering, where's that place they go from life to death? I don't know, and I don't want people to try to find out. I don't want that for you. Those boundaries are there so that we're safe. Paul says, Timothy, you will save yourself and your hearers. One commentator said, a minister is the means of saving and preserving those that attend on him from erroneous principle, from immoral practice, and by the faithful preaching of the gospel, he is instrumental in their salvation, their eternal salvation. For though Jesus Christ is the only Savior, yet ministers of the gospel are instruments by which souls believe in him and are saved. Friends, that is heavy. That the Lord uses weak vessels to save those that will spend eternity before Christ in glory. But friends, the encouragement, as we generalize, the encouragement is for you as well to keep watch on yourself, to keep watch on your life, to keep watch on your teaching and how you're growing as a Christian, that you may be useful in sharing the Word of God with those around you, instructing your children in the things of God, presenting the gospel to neighbors, sharing grace with co-workers. Friends, that takes some stretching of yourself as well. If you were at work and a co-worker came up and they said, I know that you're a Christian, I know that you attend a Reformed church, could you explain to me how one is made right with God? Would you clam up? Or would you be able to open the Word of God and say, let's do this? Friends, keep watch. Because eternity is at stake. Eternity is at stake. The chief concern of those involved in ministry, as Timothy was here, ought to be to save those that hear. I recently was speaking with a friend who's a pastor, and I said that there are times when I tremble thinking about how someday I will stand before God and give an account for the congregation that I led. Friends, I don't know if you know how heavy that weighs on a pastor. Keep watch on yourself. Keep watch on your teaching. We're reminded as well that as the aim is the salvation of those that hear him, that Paul says the best way, Timothy, for that to happen is for you to watch yourself. To watch your own life, to watch your own teaching. In congregation, that application, it trickles down into your lives as well. That you're called to watch yourself. You're called to watch your teaching. And I think especially of heads of households in your responsibilities. Your responsibility to watch the way that you live so that your children can look to you and say, you know, even though Dad was a sinner, he practiced repentance. Even though Dad was not perfect, he loved Jesus. And watch the teaching as well. How are you instructing? And we move that application as well into each one of you as individuals. Know that you all as individuals are also going to give an account before God. Examine yourselves. You say, well, Pastor Nathan, I got issues. Yeah, we've all got issues. Look to Christ. Look to Jesus, trusting in Him, resting in Him, and knowing that even as you examine yourselves, in the words of Robert Murray McShane, for every one look at yourself, take 10 looks to Christ. Friends, watch yourself and your teaching. Amen.